Hey, you're listening to the Produce Like a Boss podcast, where we are arming you with the tools that you need to become a six-figure producer. So if you're brand new here and you don't know me, hey, I'm Chris Bradley. I have built a six-figure production company from my home studio, recording and producing through multiple revenue streams, including sync licensing, beat licensing, custom songwriting, session work, and more. All right, let's do this. Whenever I tell somebody that I'm a musician, the first thing they usually say is, oh, wow, like how do you make enough money to live your lifestyle? And it's true. Being a creative surely comes with its own sets of financial trials and tribulations. But what if there was another way? What if we could break free from that elusive starving artist myth to finally live life on our own terms as creators and artists? Well, my friends, I'm living proof that it can be done. In this video, I'll talk about my experience becoming a seven-figure creator and share my secrets for ditching that starving artist label once and for all. So let's jump in. For the longest time, I was your classic starving artist, broke as a joke and juggling soul-sucking jobs just to make ends meet. At some point in my life, I think I just bought into the myth that artists can only strike it rich once some fairy godmother comes in to save the day and handle the boring business stuff. You know, like they do in the movies. So I just focused on writing and producing tons of songs, and I assumed one day I would make it when I was good enough. I daydreamed constantly about getting a publishing deal or a record deal, but if I'm being honest, I don't even think I knew exactly what that meant at the time. I think it was easier to romanticize the idea of getting signed and assume that it would solve all my problems rather than actually do the work. I mean, I cringe now thinking about how disempowering this mindset was. Here I was with this big-ass, lofty dream of making it in the music industry, and I didn't even have a specific measurable goal, like a dollar amount. But hey, I was a noob, what can I say? And if you've caught yourself in the same boat, simply dreaming of making it or being discovered and rescued by Daddy Warbucks, don't worry, it's not your fault. Okay, this happens to a lot of artists because we're taught that artists have to starve for their art and that there's no money to be made unless you make it big, i.e. you become a rock star or a celebrity. I know I've heard that from nearly every person in my life, from my family to my friends to my teachers.
You're never gonna make enough money to live doing that.
And here's the thing, they didn't know any better. Nowadays, turning your passion into cash is a common thing, but when I was growing up, it was a totally foreign concept. I mean, being a tortured artist was actually glamorized, and addiction was even to be expected. So naturally, when I became your quintessential party girl in my 20s, I thought my excessive drinking and my bad habits were just par for the course as an artist. Hey man, I'm an artist. It's what we do, I thought. But as I matured, I realized this whole hot mess, tortured artist thing wasn't cute anymore. You wanna hear something sad but true? Ugh. I kinda always thought I'd make it by 25 or that I'd end up in the 27 Club along with Janice and Jimmy and Amy. Like, how sad is that? I actually accepted that I would likely party myself into my grave. But then one day, I woke up at 30 years old and I realized, holy shit, I'm still alive. What the fuck am I actually doing with my life? Now, at the time, I was living that fast cash bartender life. I was hustling multiple bars and clubs, and the money was decent, but let's be real, I was so over it, even with all the free drinks and clout that I had all around LA. The thing is, I didn't think I was gonna be doing this forever, but here I was, an actual adult in my 30s, and the only two talents I had were pouring drinks and writing songs. And I will never forget one night I was slinging drinks at a dingy, packed bar in the heart of downtown LA. Now, this is the type of place that just had bad vibes. It was dirty and it was dark and all the employees were really mean. And on the weekends, it was totally slammed with riffraff. So one night I had a patron who kept rudely waving me down and yelling his orders at me like I was his personal servant. And to top it off, this cheapskate wasn't even tipping. I put up with his shenanigans for a bit, but when he barked his final order, "Yo, bitch, give me a Jaeger shot and step on it," I snapped. I just couldn't. I cut him off and I told him where he could stick his Jaeger shot and I pointed his ass to the door. After that, I spun around on my heels to grab another bottle and serve another thirsty customer when suddenly chaos erupted. A pint glass zoomed past me like a bullet and shattered against the back wall of the bar, followed by another pint glass, which thankfully I avoided by pulling a little Matrix-style dodge. Whew! Talk about a close call. This guy and his girlfriend had just thrown their glasses at me, just barely missing my face. To say I was in shock would be an understatement. When I finally came to, I started shouting and waving my arms like a lunatic, just trying to get the attention of the doorman over the blaring music. Luckily, I caught his eye and he bounced these psychos before things got any crazier. So the reason I'm telling you this is because this was a turning point for me. This was the final straw. I knew I had to get out of the bar scene. And I left that night knowing I would never set foot behind a bar again. So the next day, I sat down with my best friend and I told her all about what happened. I totally reenacted the tale of those darn pint glasses almost taking me out like a scene from a thriller movie. And after she picked her jaw up off the floor, she said, "Chris, I want to help." And she told me that she had joined a network marketing company that sold some fancy face cream, and she was pretty excited about it. Now, since she knew that I did not want to go back to bartending and was hurting for cash, she offered to pay for the $500 startup kit so I could get started. Okay, so here's the thing. I don't love network marketing. I don't get it. I've never vibed with it. I'm not criticizing it. I've just never had a good experience with any of the companies or their reps. However, my friend was generous enough to offer to buy me this startup kit, and I didn't really have any other options, so I accepted. Later that week, the box arrived, and it came with a bunch of products and a pay structure brochure, which promised a shiny new car if I got enough people on board, and some company swag inside. But little did I know, the real prize was yet to be revealed. At the bottom of the box, there was a book called The Slight Edge. And as I flipped through the first couple pages of the book, I was immediately sucked in. It was like an energetic force was pulling me into the material. This was my first introduction to personal development. And the book talked about how small daily actions and decisions that might seem insignificant at the time can lead to significant results. Now, it's funny because thus far, I had always been looking for the quantum leap. I was always on the constant hunt for a shortcut or that big record deal. I was looking for a sudden breakthrough, like blowing up on Spotify overnight or going viral on social media. But this book put things into perspective, revealing that success is actually achieved through a series of small steps. So, spoiler alert, I didn't end up selling the fancy face cream or working for the company after getting that starter kit. But I did use this book to change my mindset, which catapulted my music career and helped me to break free from being a starving artist. So one of the biggest things I took away from that book was that personal growth is a daily discipline and that I should read 10 pages of a self-help book a day. So I started reading all the books like Think and Grow Rich, The Magic of Thinking Big, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I mean, I literally became a reading machine. And the funny thing is I was never much of a reader. And to be honest, I was a little self-conscious about my reading and writing capabilities since I left the house at 15 and I never finished high school. But now here I was devouring every bit of knowledge I could get my hands on. Not only did I become a reader, but because I was reading books that actually changed my mindset and reprogrammed my subconscious, I also developed some pretty other amazing habits that helped me break free from the starving artist myth. I started working on myself and my mindset. I started paying attention to my thoughts and then changing my thoughts, which changed my actions, which changed my reality. I went from floating around aimlessly with no real plan or goals in life to getting extremely focused. I started setting actual goals, creating manifestation lists, and visualizing my future self. And then I used that vision of my future self as a dangling carrot to keep me in pursuit of my dreams. And the funny thing is once I developed these habits, it's like I really did have that fairy godmother that I had always wanted, you know? Because there's something about getting intentional about your life that's just magical. So one of the first tangible goals I set was that I actually wanted to make money with my music or go pro. I started off by playing bar gigs and restaurant gigs, which was a huge step up from bartending for me at the time. Now, this required me to really tighten up my live performance chops, as well as learn a lot of covers since most restaurants want you to play covers for their patrons to enjoy. So I set aside time each day to work on learning new songs, accompanying myself on guitar and getting set lists together. Then I reached out to restaurants and bars and I started booking myself regularly. So, you know, I was so broke at the time, I actually had to borrow a PA for most of my gigs. But after just a few shows, I splurged on my own PA system for a whopping $500 and I lugged that baby to every gig for the next several years. Now, looking back, I realized that the second I started becoming intentional, life started working out for me. So as soon as I put out into the universe that I wanted to be a pro musician, circumstances, situations, and even people started to fall into place. For example, a percussionist in San Diego reached out to me online to see if I wanted to play some shows. I don't even know how he found me. Like, I didn't even have a large social media account. So he offered to book all of our gigs, handle all of the business, and let me keep a larger share of the pay since I would be singing all of the songs. So I agreed. So I packed my bags and I moved to San Diego and I traded my late night bartending life for beachfront gigging, playing up to 25 gigs a month. And this all happened just by setting a goal to make money with my music and actually writing it down. Next, a songwriter reached out to me online and asked me if I'd sing and play guitar on some of her demos in the studio. Now, what's really uncanny about this situation was she found me on my YouTube channel with a humble 70 subscribers. Like, this was before I even knew how YouTube worked, and I was just sharing videos from like live shows with no SEO or hashtags or anything. What are the odds of that? I wasn't even posting regularly enough to have an algorithm working for me. Next thing I know, she asks not only for me to do one song for her, but for me to demo 100 songs for her. Ka-ching! Now, at this point, I knew it was time to dig into the recording software that had been sitting or collecting digital dust on my computer. So I set up a small home studio in my bedroom and I learned how to record and produce myself. So now, rather than having to go into the studio, I just offered to record her demos from home. This saved her money on studio time and allowed me to A, get paid to learn how to record, and B, make money more quickly as I could record at my own leisure. And let me tell you something, okay? Learning how to record did not come naturally for me, okay? Because I was so not tech savvy. Even setting up my mic and just getting the sound on was a challenge. I cannot tell you how many of my initial home studio sessions ended in frustration and tears and nearly pulling out my hair over basic tech issues. But I was just so determined to be able to record my own music, especially now I had someone willing to pay me for it, so I stuck with it. Now, it took a few years of really working on my recording chops, but eventually I left restaurant and bar gigs altogether because one client led to another client and then another, and all of a sudden I had a full roster of people paying me to record music for their projects. I had finally gone full-time with my music. I was literally living the dream. I look back now at old journal entries where I wrote down things like, I want to be a professional producer and songwriter, or I want to get my music into film and TV. And I smile knowing that I've manifested everything I have in my life today. After recording and producing professionally for several years from home, people started to take notice, like, how is this chick not working a regular job and making money as a musician? Now, at this point, I was living in Nashville and I was always busy with a project. I did everything from producing demos to session vocals to producing other artists to custom songs to jingles to voiceover to music for film and TV. You name it, I was a work-for-hire machine. When I'd work with artists, I would teach them little tips and tricks about how to record themselves, and I loved simplifying it for them because, like me, they struggled with the tech stuff and most of them assumed producing was way over their head. And I knew exactly how they felt. Now, thankfully, at this point, I had become a master at troubleshooting and simplifying the recording process, so I was always happy to help. And then one day, I was explaining how to track vocals to an artist, and she said, you know, you're really good at simplifying this and making this easy to understand. You should make tutorial videos. Now, I hadn't really considered becoming a content creator. Honestly, I didn't even know anything about this entire world of online courses or coaching or digital products or influencers, and I really had my hands full with my own music projects, but something inside told me to look into this. So, of course, I did my research and I read a couple books, and I decided to create my first online course called From Voice Memo to Demo, which shows artists how to produce their own music. And I was able to help over 1,000 students go from their songs sounding like this. I wanna go road tripping, skinny dipping, have a little fun until the sun goes missing. To sounding like this. I wanna go road tripping. So From Voice Memo to Demo was the first product in my business produced like a boss. And after I saw how much that course helped people, I ended up creating an entire suite of courses because I realized I could teach people my entire process. From how I made my first demos, to how I got paid to write songs for DJs and producers, aka top lining, to how I got into beat licensing, and even how I built a six-figure business as a music producer, which requires so much more than musical skills, because you can need business skills for that too. The courses spread like wildfire, helping thousands of musicians produce their own music and get paid. And can I tell you, I could have never planned for this. I honestly had no idea how quickly Produce Like a Boss would grow or how many students we would help. I never sought out to become a content creator or make courses or become a teacher, but I had found my calling to help others break free of the starving artist's myth and create a business and life they love. And to be honest, these days, I get far more excited at my students' wins, more than my own. Okay, I still get song placements in film and TV, but it is nowhere near as fulfilling as when a student of mine tells me that they got their music placed. Seriously, I always say the only thing I love more than getting an aha is giving an aha. It's like a drug and I can't get enough. I love, love helping my fellow artists. So after just 2 years of business, I won an award for generating $1 million in my business called the 2 Comma Club Award, which you can see behind me right there if you're watching the video version of this. It's funny, I remember the first time I saw somebody else receive that award for selling courses and I thought, I'm gonna get that. I'm gonna be one of those people. And I even had a little song that I would playfully sing to myself. I would go, comma, 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 comma club. As I visualize myself standing on that stage and receiving that award. Okay, I'm a nerd. You gotta have fun with it. But here's the thing. I got it. I got the award. I made $1 million in 2 years as a creator. And I still pinch myself when I say this, but I went from being an aimless, starving artist on her own at 15, who was addicted to alcohol and not planning on living past 30 for crying out loud, to a seven-figure business owner. Like, whoa. And it all began by getting intentional about my life, by making a decision about who I actually wanted to be and taking actionable steps towards a goal. There's a saying that goes, life doesn't happen to you, it happens for you. And I agree, but I'd like to add a little something to that. Life doesn't just happen for you, it happens from you, because you are the creator of your own life. And as one of my favorite mentors, Jim Rohn, says, a life best lived is a life by design. So if you want some help becoming a pro musician, that's literally what we do in our program, Home Studio Boss VIP, which is a 6-month-long coaching program working with me along with other coaches, where you get personalized one-on-one help, and you even get a detailed business plan for growing your business as a musician so that you can get paid to create music. So we have a ton of student success stories, including students getting their music into film and TV, getting custom songwriting jobs, and even students that are now making 6 figures a year. So if you're ready to break free from the starving artist myth, go ahead and book a call. It's 100% free, and it's just to see if we can even help you grow your business. Now, we do fill up fast with these free discovery calls, so if you're thinking this might be a good fit for you, go ahead and grab a spot over at producelikeaboss.com/call. I will also drop a link in the description below this video and podcast. Thank you so much for watching or listening, wherever you're consuming this content. And if you enjoyed this, I'd love it if you liked, shared, left a comment or a review. Let me know what you think. It definitely helps us to spread the word. And remember, goals are just dreams with an action plan. Till next time, see ya. As always, I'm going to take us out with one of my songs. I did this in partnership with Don Candiani Productions and Warner Chapel PM, and it's called It's My Time. No more waiting on the hour. No more wishing, hesitating. Mama didn't raise a coward. Now I know just what I want. And it's only just begun. I've rubbed elbows with my demons. Looked an angel in the eye, so I got something to believe in. And now I'm never going back. I leave the ashes in the past. Time is my I know I gotta stay true. It's not enough to be alive. I'd rather live than just survive. I got caught up in the darkness until I grabbed a hold and handed me a heart for me to harness. And now I'm waking from a dream. And now I know it can be free.